Now, this gospel lesson you've heard before. You probably know it very well. Probably very familiar. You could probably recite it along with me as we were reading it. It's short and to the point, and it tells a story that is quite poignant, probably because we can relate. Just imagine being there. You can probably hear off in the kitchen the spoon being stirred either faster or much lot more loudly than usual against the edge of the pots, and then a few pots banging and clanging here and there. The table is being set, and as the plates go onto the table, you hear this thump, and then there's a glare, and then there's another thump, and then there's another glare, and then a thump, and yet another glare, and this goes on until the table is set for Martha and Mary and Jesus and for those other disciples that were with them at this meal. And you can just see Martha. Suddenly, the teeth get clenched, and she's just had enough of this. So she goes and she scolds, not Mary, she scolds Jesus. Now most of us think she's complaining about Mary. She's actually complaining to Jesus about Jesus. Because you see, he's distracting Mary from what she should be doing. She should be helping Martha, or so Martha thinks. And Jesus answers her in a way that probably frustrated Martha to no end. Well, Martha, you're just so worried about so many things. Mary's chosen the better part. Actually, to really understand this, we need to go back a little bit into the words of the scripture, and perhaps there is a little bit better translation of what we have traditionally come to see as the better part, that it really doesn't mean something better than something else. It really is, she's chosen something that is good. Something that is good. So, essentially Jesus is telling Martha, don't worry, Mary's doing something good. She's not being lazy, she's not, you know, sort of sloughing off her responsibility. She's doing something that's actually needed and necessary. You can see Martha, harumph, stomping back in the kitchen to finish what she was doing. Or maybe as she's cooking and continuing to prepare the meal, she's getting a little less angry and starting to think a little bit about what Jesus is saying. Now, there have been various interpretations of this particular story over the many years of the Christian church, the most common of which is to see Mary as sort of a symbol of what's really important for disciples, and that is to listen to the teachings of Jesus and to really meditate and think on them and let everybody else take care of all that other stuff. And the very fact that it's been translated so often into this phrase, the better part, rather than a more accurate understanding, which is choosing something good, we in the church for a very long time have seen this as a justification for saying that those who dedicate their lives to prayer and meditation on the Word of God, that they somehow lead a better kind of life as disciples, leaving the rest of us behind to do all of the kind of work that needs to be done. Somehow, if we don't see ourselves appointed to do that sort of thing, then we are lesser Christians or lesser disciples. And that's, when you stop and think about it, it's really not a very healthy thing to do, to interpret this story that way. So there must be something more to it, and I believe that there is. Because if we look at it carefully, the story is really not about the argument between Martha and Mary and Jesus, or trying to put a wedge between them, or trying to say that one is better than the other. After all, they lived in the same house, did they not? So they were under the same roof, were they not? So Martha and Mary are both necessary. Both necessary in the household, in the church. So they're both doing something that is good. Not one thing is better than the other, but they're both doing good. And maybe that releases us from that dialogue between the two of them to get to the bigger picture that is necessary to understand why this particular story may be in Luke's gospel. The people of the Middle East, for millennia, for thousands of years, have valued very highly this notion that is called hospitality. Now, in our day and age, we think of hospitality as somebody who's just very gregarious and likes to throw lots of parties and invites people for dinner and doing that. They're very hospitable people, we might say. But you see, in that ancient culture, hospitality was a sacred duty because it's a very barren area in many places. And in fact, when you were traveling, sometimes you ran out of supplies. And so from the very early days of Israel, God expected hospitality. It was a sacred obligation. It was something that was supposed to be done, not because you were kindly and generous, but simply because you were a human being. If we stop to think about it, the people of Israel was born out of the loins of Abraham. And Abraham himself journeyed from Ur of Chaldees into Canaan. So he too was a wanderer. In fact, that's how the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, in ancient times were to begin their own self-identification. They were to begin their story by saying this phrase, "My father," meaning my ancestors, "my father was a wandering Aramaic." In other words, they were born out of a nomadic people, out of people that had to be always on a journey, always going from place to place. And so we have this story in the first lesson, very deliberately chosen by the church for this particular Sunday when we read about the story of Martha and Mary, to remind us of that sacred obligation of hospitality. Because in that ancient culture, it could mean the difference between life and death. If you were wandering in the desert and you needed something to eat and something to drink, and you came upon somebody who was settled, at least for a few days, then it was incumbent on the one who you came upon to give you something to eat and something to drink. That's what hospitality meant. It wasn't only to feed the body, however, it was also to give you the ability to go on your journey. So it was also to feed the soul. And that's the piece about hospitality that we sometimes sort of forget. That it isn't only about making sure that somebody has enough to eat and enough to drink. It is about sitting down at table and sharing with one another. Not only the food, but also the spirit. After all, if all we did was try to feed ourselves so that we could exist, what would be the sense of having a dinner party? Or inviting people over for some sort of festive occasion? It isn't so much what we are eating, or how we are eating it, except to the point where we are actually eating it with one another. And it is when we are with one another that we begin to share not only the stuff, the bread, maybe, and the drink, or the meat, but rather we are sharing of ourselves. We are sharing of our hearts, sharing of our souls. And it is there that hospitality finds its home. It isn't simply enough to give somebody something to eat and something to drink. The sacred obligation of hospitality is also that we would feed their souls. So we are to share with one another. another of our own lives, our own stories. We become friends. We become compatriots. We become a people. And that is how God formed the people of God, ancient Israel. Out of a nomadic people, based and rooted in this fundamental notion of hospitality, they came together and they shared the life of none other than God himself. Hospitality. Now, those of us from Central Pennsylvania, we know that word used, you know, for a particular restaurant in the area. Remember, I'm not from here, but I've heard of this commercial with, you know, hospitality. Well, we're not talking about that kind of thing. We're talking about something which is much more intimate. We're talking about the very thing that happens at this table at home. Because it is at this table that we are called together from all our different walks in life. We are all coming at it from different places. And it is none other than God himself in the person of Jesus who is inviting us in. As Martha invited Jesus into her home, so too now Christ is inviting us here to gather ourselves around this table and here to be fed with a little bit of bread and a little sip of wine, as a deep symbol of God's own hospitality to us. That in fact, he's not only sharing with us something to eat and something to drink, but in fact, sharing of his own life, sharing of his own soul. Every time we gather here, when we break bread and share the cup, we are being made part of God himself. We are being changed and transformed. And that's why we're here. We're not here simply to get something. That's what simply, you know, maybe a piece of bread and a piece of meat and then something to drink would be, just to feed the body. But no, we are called here also to be fed deep in our hearts, to be fed deep in our own souls. And it is in the feeding that we are changed. That's what this story is about. What about two sisters who can't quite agree on things? That's sort of a normal human thing, I guess. I never had a sister that I knew, so, you know, I'll just trust you to talk about that. But in fact, this seeming conflict is not about somebody who won't do the work. It's about losing the focus of what both of them are to be about. It's about providing hospitality. It's not about being nice. It's not about getting the work done. It's about realizing what this larger endeavor is that we are undertaking. It is realizing, for Martha to realize, that it's not just about making sure the food is on the table and the plates are well set. But all of that is necessary for the sharing that will occur when we gather. Well, we can get all upset. You know, I often hear it, you know, oh, you know, somebody put the candle in the wrong place, or somebody, you know, put the book in the wrong place, or they dressed the chalice properly, and all that sort of thing. Yeah, oh, that's important. I'm not trying to denigrate that. Please don't misunderstand me. But if that's all we're worried about, we're just like Martha. If that's all we're worried about is that everything is in good order and everything is done the way it's supposed to do, then perhaps we've lost our focus. Our focus is that we are responding to all of these things to that gracious invitation to come. To come to the table of the Lord. To come, whether we have great faith or little. To come, whether we are steeped in deep theology or know precious little about our God. To come, whether we have struggled in our life, or whether our Christian discipleship seems to come easy. To come to this table. All of us are invited. It is none other than Christ's hospitality that we share, as he gives to us in the bread and the wine, a symbolic form of his own flesh. gives to us not only something to eat, but something to fill our hearts, to fill our souls. That is why we come. And it is here in this place that as we come together and we gather about that table, and we commune with God through the taking of the bread and the wine, we also commune with one another. It is here that we begin to share one another's story. Here that we begin to share one another's life. And in sharing that life, we become one people. We become as that ancient Israel shared the life of God, the Creator. We come and share the life of God, the Son. And in sharing the life of God, the Son, we are brought together that we might be His presence in the world. We come so we can go. But before we go, God takes a moment. And He does something that can change and transform each and every one of us. And it is in that change and in that transformation that we are made new. So when we hear this story again, the next time we hear Martha rattling around the kitchen and banging plates on the table, we hear her going to Jesus and saying, "Lord, don't you understand? What is wrong with you?" We're not really talking about that. We're talking about the need to keep our focus on what is really important. And that is hospitality. Oh, not party making, but festivity, to be sure. To celebrate the life of the risen Lord. To celebrate the life of the Spirit among us. To celebrate the life of God in us. To celebrate us as we become Christ for the Lord.